Hey, everybody, welcome back to Boozy Bracketology, the podcast that believes in strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And we are crowning a champion here tonight in the 80s movie bracket, where we are looking at kids and young adult live action films. We're going to crown our champion to see which one is going to the main bracket. I'm going to throw it over to Sarah to introduce everybody, and let's make some bad decisions.
I cannot wait for the bad decisions. I see some dark crystal in my future, bringing back some bad memories. I'm going to wash those tears down with some sparkling water because I'm fancy and I'm ready for you guys tonight. I'm in Reno, Nevada. A week ago, I was bragging that it was 60 degrees. Today, it snowed. Welcome to springtime in Nevada. But I am going to kick it your way, Chris. Introduce you guys there in Palm Harbor, Florida. Marissa, how are you tonight and what are you drinking?
I'm doing great, Sarah. And I'm back on my wine BS. I've got cereal. It's a Paso Robles Cabernet Sauvignon. It's delightful. It's one of the better mid-price point wines that you can grab at a grocery store. So that's what I've got tonight.
Sounds delightful. And Chris, I know we started with you, but I am curious as to what you're drinking.
I don't drink, Sarah. I finish. That made no sense until you laughed, and I don't know why. Not a bottle kill. I didn't want to kill the bottle, so I asked Jeff, "Jeff, do you have any whiskey?" And Marissa laughed and said, "Do we have any whiskey?" And then proceeded to point me to a direction of a liquor cabinet that has, no joke, my favorite bottle of bourbon. Woodford Reserve Double Oaked is my go-to drink. I love this drink, and hopefully I'm going to love all of you after these picks. So cheers.
So we're going to skip across the country a little bit, heading to Huntsville, Alabama. Mike, how are you, and what are you drinking?
Sarah, I'm doing well. To give you an idea of how much of a degenerate I am, all I did was see the side of that bottle when Chris was popping it, and I went, huh, that looks like Woodford Reserve, and then that was exactly what it was. So, yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, the eye sees what it sees, and the brain just gets you there somehow. I, on the other hand, am, as usual, riding the beer train. I have a beer from the Southern Prohibition Brewing Company out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. This is the Mississippi Fire Ant. I've toned it down a little bit from the beer that I had in the previous recording. This is only 8% ABV. It's an Imperial Red Ale.
Ooh, like a good red ale.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. And we are going to go back to Florida, down to Florida. I don't know. I'm not great at geography. But Leah, what are you drinking?
Okay, so I have a little bit of rum, Oak and Cane, I believe is what it's called. So I have that mixed in with a little Cherry Coke Zero sugar, and it is wonderful. I'm a big fan of rum. I'm a big fan of bourbon, and I really, really like it when you combine them with a nice cherry-flavored soda. So I'm in my happy place right now.
Can't confirm that is her happy place.
Oh, I know. Happy Leah is my favorite Leah. And last but not least, around your same table, still super jealous of that, but Jeff, you gave Chris your bourbon, so what are you drinking?
Well, so I've got in front of me here a couple of choices. I haven't decided which one I'm going to go with yet. Maybe both, if we're lucky. I have both a single barrel select Eagle Rare pick from my local spirit store of choice. As well as a Bee's Squeeze, a blonde ale with honey and orange peel from Copper Point Brewing, which I think is here in Florida. It sure is. Look at that. I can turn a can around. So, yeah.
Yeah. You brought those golfing, and they're delightful.
See, I have reasons to get rid of beer pop. Sometimes. Still tasty. God knows how old it is.
Well, let's see if we can make you mad enough to dip into the other bottle. So, yes, we are starting off with the Elite A of the 80s kids and young adults movies. And we are going to start off with the number 16 seed, Uncle Buck, that defeated the one seed, Willow, the first round, going against the number 9 seed, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And Marissa is going to start us off. Let's hear it, Marissa.
Look, Uncle Buck is fine. It's good. We all love it. I'm a little salty, beat Willow, but you know, you can't top Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when you've got this matchup. You just can't. It's nearly perfect in every way. It's when you're a kid, especially, it's just, I don't know. There's something about it. You're like giant ants and blades of grass and that are, you know, as tall as a skyscraper. I don't know if anyone else is a kid, but I always put myself into like a fantasy world because that's just where I lived in my head. I basically grew up in my grandmother's swamp as a kid, pretending that Bambi was, you know, following me around. This is going to go to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids for me.
And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is going to start off strong. Chris, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Ant-Man struggle with the same logical flaw. Whereas they have this amazing technology and no one thinks, oh, we could solve world hunger. Come on. But that's where the logic ends here. Giant pancake versus an amazing adventure of kids in their own backyard. It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. This for me isn't close, although I do love Uncle Buck.
The giant pancake did not prevail this time. Mike.
Well, you know, speaking of giant pancakes, at the very end of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, don't they blow up like the dog's food to like a giant size something or other? So they do imply that they could theoretically eventually use this to solve world hunger. That's not the immediate problem at hand, Chris. The immediate problem at hand is that the machine has been triggered and the kids are okay. No, I'm not.
There's two subsequent movies, Mike.
Yeah.
Someone the two needs subsequent to put a lock movies, on the damn door.
So the two subsequent movies are 90s movies and are not part of this. We're talking about the 80s. We're talking about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which I'm going to agree with my predecessors here. Uncle Buck is wonderful. It's a fun movie. John Candy is John Candy. He's great. Like, he's a treasure. We lost him way too soon. And Uncle Buck is one of his best performances. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is just a fantastic childhood adventure movie. I showed it to my girls a couple months ago now, and I hadn't seen it in God probably 30 years, and it still holds up. It's still delightful. They both loved it. Penny is convinced for whatever reason that after the encounter with the scorpion, the ant just went back home to his family, and I have not I've not dispelled her of that notion, but there's a reason that I picked the Mississippi fire ant as my beer or this bracket. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids gets the third vote and we'll be moving on.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids does get its third vote. It is moving on, but Leah, we still want to hear from you.
So usually how I do these brackets is that in the first round, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to think of like, what am I going to use to help weed through some of these films? And so in round one, I'm usually based on what movie would I rather watch? But now it's round two. We got to start thinking about longevity. What's the next steps? Which film is going to better represent the kids and young adults portion of the bracket? And in my mind, Uncle Buck is more of a entire family film. I think a lot of, at least in our house, a lot of the adults really enjoyed Uncle Buck and probably enjoyed it more than the children did. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, it's based around kids. The kids are the stars. They are the main characters. The themes that kind of travel throughout the film are all related to kids and young adults. And that's the target audience. That kind of fits our theme of this bracket a little bit better. So I'm going to vote for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids picks up its fourth vote. Is this going to be a sweep, Jeff?
Well, I think this would be an easy one to give a sweep to, but I think it can't go without saying that Uncle Buck was a fantastic movie with a fantastic actor that we lost too soon. But it is still not the classic that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is. It had such a much bigger cultural impact, and that's why it's going to be moving on with a sweep.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with the sweep, moving on to the final four. The next matchup, Chris, is going to you. I want to hear your thoughts on Labyrinth, the 12 seed, versus Stand By Me, the 4 seed.
I have thoughts. And the first thought that comes to mind is, do not mess this up. I like Labyrinth a lot. I do. But Stand By Me is an amazing film. Stephen King is notoriously one of, if not the hardest book to film adaptations you can make to make it successful. And there's only a handful, mostly by Frank Darabont, that really kind of land. Stand By Me might be the second best adaptation of Stephen King's work. Obviously the first one being Thinner, but we're not going there. No one saw Thinner? Yeah, that sounds about right. Jess never heard of Thinner, have you?
Gotcha. I read the book and I was way too young to do that.
Yeah. You don't need to see the movie. But seriously, Stand By Me is a true coming of age story. But what I love about it is the evolution of each character. And at the beginning of the movie, it's four friends hanging out. And at the end of the movie, it's four friends realizing how much they've grown throughout the entire film. Each individual character is this fully self-identified person with their own personality, but also their own growth, their own thing they're going through. Like, they're going to see a body, but that's a device to work you through the emotional development of each of these characters. It's an interesting way of doing it, but the movie capitalizes on the emotional part and the emotional immaturity that 10, 11, 12-year-old boys have. It allows these young kids to go through and experience it. Stand By Me gets my vote.
That was beautiful. All right, Stand By Me is starting off with the first vote. Mike?
Oh, Mike got bit by a big-ass mute bug right there on his neck. Wah, wah.
I totally did. Yes, I did. Ouch, that freaking hurts. It's been a while. So I have a few thoughts on this matchup, but also on what Chris said. The first being, Thinner was a Richard Bachman, technically speaking.
My God. Famously from Bachman Turner Overdrive. Yeah, that's exactly.
But second, if Stephen King is a notoriously difficult author to adapt, why do they do it so fucking much? Because I swear that man is like every single one of his books pretty much has been adapted. My third thought was going to be a joke on The Shining, but I gave those up in PTE episode number 250, so I'm just going to leave that alone. On to the actual matchup. The matchup here is between Labyrinth, which is a fine children's film. It's got a couple interesting musical numbers. It's got some puppetry. It's, as has been alluded to previously, it is a Jim Henson-related production. It is not the best Jim Henson-related production that was on this bracket. I've addressed that. But it's a fine film. It holds up for a lot of 80s kids in their nostalgia factor. I think it's got a lot of that going for it. Jennifer Connelly is excellent. David Bowie, again, has that hair, wears those sweatpants. I'm going to leave it at that. It's not Stand By Me. Chris, against all conceivable odds, was incredibly eloquent in the way that he described Stand By Me. Stand By Me is a wonderful coming of age story. It is about the young boys that are growing up in that movie as we watch them go through this experience. It's a single day in the life, and there's so much growth, and you learn so much about these individual characters, and you see so much of yourself in each of them, or in some cases, so much of who you wished you had been in that time. There's so many layers going on in Stand By Me. It is absolutely a superior film here and deserves to move on, and it gets my vote.
All right, Stand By Me picking up its second vote. Leah.
Yeah, this is 100% going to be Stand By Me from me. I'll leave a lot of my talking points for later on, but really what struck me is kind of what Mike and Chris both said, is that the character development in each, I mean, these kids are really good actors. They each have to like have an emotional breakdown and cry on film about a trauma in their own life, either with their relationship with their siblings or their parents or their reputation in town, or what am I going to do? Am I ever going to get out of this town? What am I going to make of myself? This like crisis that these kids are dealing with, they all have good scenes where they get to break down and you really get to see the raw of who they are as kids. And that tugs on my heartstrings. So that's why it's going to get my vote.
And with that, Stand By Me is moving on. But as always, we still want to hear from you guys. Jeff.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, since we last recorded, I've been able to take some time and watch all these movies. And so one of the things that I really enjoyed about The Labyrinth was when they were you know, just fighting the need and desire to get through this maze of life that they were stuck in, and all of the elements that were in the way from their goal.
Is that when the water droplet and the fire flame fell in love?
Yeah, and then there was the pixies.
There, what?
It was a great movie. But what really hit me was in Stand By Me, in that scene where they were near the forest and the water, when they really had to solve the problem that they were having of getting the fire started, because then they would have been cold. Okay, guys, I haven't seen the movies. We know this. I've got nothing to go on here. There's no more hope. Jim Henson, was he the movie TV person of our childhood? Kind of feels like it. But people really like this Stand By Me movie. I gotta say, I know more people in Labyrinth. Or do I? No, I think it's about equal, actually. We're flipping a coin here. I like Labyrinth because it's something my wife tells me to like.
Been there.
Labyrinth it is.
Labyrinth. You know what? That was also beautiful.
Kiefer Sutherland. None of these names ringing a bell. River Phoenix.
Yeah, that was the river I was talking about. I remember that part now.
Thank God.
Another one we lost too soon.
Corey Haim or Feldman. Which one?
I think that was Corey
Haim. The one that's also in Goonies.
It was Feldman.
It was Feldman?
It was Feldman. I haven't seen that one either. And Will Wheaton.
Marissa, do you have any final thoughts on this?
I mean, I could have a Mike Mott level rant at this point. I can't say anything on Stand By Me. I've never seen it. It's a film that I'm not going to show my kids because it's rated R.
Didn't Labyrinth, tell my parents.
Labyrinth, I'll show them all day long. I mean, how can you not love Hoggle? And Ludo. Who doesn't love Ludo? Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Ludo.
I did.
And the little worm. And I used to always check all the walls to make sure there weren't like secret passages. Nobody else did this. No one. I'm alone in this?
No, but I'm a firm believer Labyrinth fucked up more kids than Stand By Me ever did.
And if you're telling me there's worms in the wall, I'm going to check my
walls. No, he's a cute little... Sarah's trying to...
That explains your nightmares.
Nightmare fuel right there.
No, there's a cute little worm, and Sarah's trying to find out how to get in. And she talks to it, and it doesn't kind of... It kind of tells her where to go.
I feel like these are all the same points I talked about.
And the door knockers, there's so many good things. Don't, and I love it so much. Door. It's probably one of my favorite films.
Now we made Marissa sad.
One of my favorite childhood films. And I've never seen Stand By Me. So Labyrinth gets my vote, and it gets 10 times my vote because I say so.
You know what, Marissa? I'm going to be honest with you. I never saw Labyrinth, and I kind of want to now because of what you've been saying about it. You're very passionate. So I think I'll watch Labyrinth as an ode to you.
Even my husband won't watch it. It's okay, Sarah.
No, I will, though. I actually will. but we are going to move to the next matchup. It's your number 2 seed, E.T., versus the number 10 seed, The Dark Crystal. And Mike, I think you got to start with the Dark Crystal last round. And here we are again. So start us off.
Sarah, well, my first thought is if you enjoyed the Dark Crystal as a youth, I think you will enjoy Labyrinth as
well. I think that's why I never watched Labyrinth. I was ruined.
It's not as creepy, Sarah.
It's not nearly as creepy. I will agree with that. So I'm gonna channel Chris here because I feel like he's been saying this a couple times throughout this bracket. So I'm going to be the one to say it. Let's not mess this one up, okay? The Dark Crystal is a good movie. I watched it recently because I never grew up with it as a kid. It's got great world building. It's a fantasy. It's a very wonderful film, but it is not E.T. And I say this as somebody who, growing up, I was not the biggest E.T. fan because there were parts of it that scared me. You know, when E.T. gets sick and even freaking basically dies at one point. When I watched this movie not that long ago with my daughters, we warned them ahead of time that, hey, there's a couple moments that it's going to be a little scary, and don't worry about it. Everything is going to turn out okay. And literally right after the part that scared me most as a kid, my oldest Abby turns to me and she goes, so Daddy, when does the scary part come? They loved E.T. I loved E.T. on rewatch. I understand why there were certain parts of it that bothered me as a kid, but that film is enchanting and charming and beautiful. It's just a masterful piece of family filmmaking. It 100% deserves to move on here. And let's not mess this up, guys. Come on.
Perfect. And just like that, we're friends again. But I'm going to pass it over to my friend Leah, who's always been my friend. Leah, what are your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, E.T. still manages to ignite my inner child with wonder and delight. And every time I watch it, I still worry about Elliot and E.T. And it's just tugs on all my heartstrings. So, yeah, E.T. is the superior film here. It's going to get my vote very easily.
Second vote for E.T. Jeff.
Well, I'm afraid we've come to an easy vote here, because I'm pretty sure as a child, almost all of us wanted to go on that bike ride. I don't know a single person who didn't. And then to experience what it actually felt like, it honestly was kind of a letdown, let's be honest, but that ride at Disney was okay. But man, I mean, that was a fantastic film. I think we probably just need to move it along here. It's probably going to get some more votes. E.T.
All right. And E.T. is going to move along. Marissa.
So, you know how Leah brought up that Willow would seem like a D&D game? Dark Crystal is more, at least in line with the D&D games that I have played. It's a good film. It's got a great, you know, it's, again, Chris mentioned it, the world building, or Mike mentioned it, the world building. It's definitely got a cult following in its more, you know, its later years. But it's not E.T. It's never going to beat E.T. I don't know about you all, but I used to have to watch E.T. in Spanish also.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah. Ete telefono mi casa. Yep. No, nobody else? Nobody else watched E.T. in Spanish?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Senor Cepeda.
Mrs. Cepeda?
Yeah.
I had her. Yeah, yes. Cepeda.
Yep. So thanks for that. E.T. is a delight. It's joyous. Yes, as a kid, it had its moments, but you have little Drew Barrymore and this just lovable little alien. And I will say, Universal, come on, get it together. Update E.T. It smells like mildew and musty, and it deserves better. E.T.'s moving on.
All right, Chris, final thoughts.
I'll go back to something I've said on a couple of podcasts before, but the time to recognize greatness is when it's in front of you. And we're probably at a point where we're looking at the last handful of movies, if we're lucky, that Spielberg will ever make. The greatest director possibly of all time is going to hang it up at some point. And enjoy those movies while they're here. Even if you didn't like BFG, even if you didn't like War Horse, or you didn't like The Fablemans, enjoy them for what they are. They are the work of a true master of his craft. And he isn't the most influential director of all time, probably without E.T. He mastered the kids' film. He put out a near-perfect kids' film. Mike, I do have to ask, the version that you watched, did the cops have the guns?
You mean the one that we watched recently with the kids? Yeah, the guns were back.
They're back, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. No, this is E.T., come on.
But E.T. is going to move on to the final four. And the last matchup in this round is the number three spot, Big, versus the number 11 spot, Goonies. And Leah, you get to go first on this one.
Okay, so I've already talked about how much I love Stand By Me. Goonies is just kind of a goofier version of it. It definitely has more of the humor, but it still kind of has that adventure that the kids are going on, and they're trying to get themselves out of a sticky situation constantly. Goonies characters are a little bit more annoying, that I find them annoying, like, now as an adult watching it. But you know what? This is a kids movie. Kids are annoying. They still have a good story about how these annoying kids are going to try and come together as a group to get out of their sticky situations. It's just, to me, an overall better movie than Big is, even though I did vote for Big earlier on. Just quality-wise, pop culture-wise, I see Goonies merchandise still when I go into a Hot Topic or Think Geek or whatever, but I don't see a whole lot of references to Big in current day. So Goonies has the staying power to cross generations, so I'm going to vote for Goonies.
All right, and Goonies picks up its first vote. On to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty certain both of these films have had wide success, wide critical acclaim, and both have had incredible followings over the years. But I think what Leah said does ring true. I mean, one of these movies has had the pop culture staying power more than the other. And, you know, as someone who has definitely watched both of these films since the last time that we recorded, I can really tell how Goonies is the one that would really have what everybody wants. It's about the adventure. It's about the group of kids and all of the different follies they'll come across. For me, it's going to be the Goonies.
All right. And the Goonies picks up its second vote. Marissa.
Trying to collect my thoughts here. Big is fine. Big has its, you know, own unique issues, I guess, when you're looking at it as an adult. Goonies, however, is just, it's fun. Beginning to end. I mean, who doesn't love Data? Who doesn't love seeing the truffle shuffle? it's just, it's so much fun. It's joyous. You know, these kids have to get to go on an adventure and solve a problem, and they find a treasure. And who doesn't want to find a treasure? Goonies gets my vote.
And Goonies is going to be moving on to the final four. But Chris, we want to still hear from you.
So I think Goonies is the better movie. It's obviously going to get my vote. But when it comes to like the overall impact on pop culture, I'm not convinced it has a bigger impact on pop culture, for the simple fact that Big was the first $100 million grossing film by a female director. It's what this is how weird the 80s were.
No.
It proved that women could direct. And we all know that now, but like it took Penny Marshall to break that threshold. And I believe Nora Ephron, who did Sleepless in Seattle?
Yes, Nora Ephron.
Nora Ephron kind of copied that a few years later with Sleepless in Seattle, but Penny Marshall got there first. And then she also did it with freaking A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you go back and think about how long it took for women to get the chance to helm big budget movies and provide huge box office returns. And look at where we are, where the number two movie of last year was freaking Barbie by Greta Gerwig, an amazing film. Nyad was up for Best Picture this year and Best Director. But this is Goonies. Goonies never say die. And it encapsulates how much fun a film can be. So Goonies gets my vote.
And Goonies with the sweep. We are going to head into the final four, and I do not envy Mike. Oh my gosh, Mike, how dare I? I'm so sorry. I would love to hear your thoughts on the Goonies and Big.
So my thoughts on the Goonies and Big are this. There's a moment midway through The Great Muppet Caper where Kermit and Miss Piggy are having a fight, and it's one of the great many fourth wall breaks in that movie. And Kermit says to Miss Piggy, "Piggy, you are overacting. You are hamming it up." Kermit says to Miss Piggy, "You are hamming it up." That alone should advance that movie past either of these two. That single moment is brilliant. It is phenomenal. I still sing Happiness Hotel to this day. There's a pitch perfect. Okay, I'm sorry. I left this alone. I told myself I'd be cool. I told myself I'd be cool. I lied. It's a pitch perfect homage to Busby Berkeley. No, okay. No, I'm back. I'm back. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Big is a movie that I definitely resonated with because I was basically the shortest kid in my class always. And there were a lot of things where, and I definitely was, you know, had the whole thing where, oh, I'm not tall enough to be on the ride and all of my friends are, and that sucks. So, you know, being the ideal of wishing on Zoltar and being able to be big and all that kind of stuff, that did resonate with me. But I think that Big is a movie that conceptually it's interesting and it does some things with it. Tom Hanks being brilliant elevates that movie beyond what it really, you know, should be just on paper. And Penny Marshall's directing, of course, is not to be discounted. But everybody else is right. This is a sweep. This is The Goonies. The Goonies is a wonderful childhood adventure film. It is still entertaining and engrossing. I understand what Leah is saying about, yeah, some of the kids, okay, nowadays, they're going to be a little annoying to adults watching the film. But overall, yeah, Goonies. Goonies is the correct choice to go up against E.T. in the next round. Oh my goodness.
I don't envy you guys. So R.I.P. though, Great Muppet Caper, R.I.P. But the final four sees Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Stand By Me, E.T. and the Goonies. You guys have some tough choices coming up. Jeff, if you want to break into that second bottle, now would be a good time.
No worries here.
And we are going to start up the first matchup of the final four with the number 9 seed, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, versus the number 4 seed, Stand By Me. And Jeff, you are going to start us off.
Yeah, this one's going to be a breeze. I think it's important that we send, the lowest ranked film possible through to the championship. Mostly because that's the film I've seen. I mean, of course, I've seen them all now. But the one that resonated to me when I was a child, of course, when I saw that, was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I love that movie. I've shown my kids that movie. It's wonderful. It really embodied the sense of childhood and play and fun and made it all kind of scary when you were worried about dying from getting stepped on, but it was still fabulous. Who needs to come of age anyways? Let's all stay a child and run in the grass. This my vote's for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids picked up the first vote. Marissa.
Yeah, this one is also easy for me because yet again, I still have not seen Stand By Me, nor is it a film that I saw as a kid, nor would I show it to my children. I understand it's wonderful and, you know, impactful. But we're talking about YA and kids movies and, you know, again, it's not a film I'm going to show my kids until they're older. My boys might be old enough to see it. They've hear me curse enough, so probably wouldn't be an issue. But no, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is going to get my vote.
All right, that's the second vote for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Chris.
No. No. I like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. But this isn't close. Stand By Me is about brotherhood. It's about friendship. I just think that for me personally, the bonds that tie through this story, the inner workings, the kind of through points of this film about what it means to be a friend, about having four people from four drastically different backgrounds coming together to have a friendship and to be there for each other. It's beautiful. And listen, they mask it all with what 11 and 12 year old boys do, which is crude vulgarity and words for random genitalia that we're not going to mention here. But it's got a really good heart at its core. And I guarantee not a single person that's seen that movie will forget the train scene. I guarantee you won't. I know Jeff will never forget the train scene.
Beautiful, beautiful.
This is Stand By Me.
All right, Stand By Me picks up its first vote. Mike.
I never had any friends like the ones I had when I was 12. Jesus, does anyone? Yes, my friends were far better. My friends sucked. The friends that I had at 12 sucked. I am so glad that I found so many better friends. That said, Stand By Me is the far better film here. I love Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and I genuinely do not want to take anything away from it. It's a great adventure because it used practical effects. It still holds up. Like the effects aged well. It's a movie. Again, I said, I'll show it to my kids. I showed it to my kids and they loved it. Abby was like, this is the greatest movie ever. She loves that concept. I think it's because she's so small for her age, but she loves the concept of shrinking and all that kind of stuff. They found it to be a delightful movie, and it is a delightful kids movie. It's just not Stand By Me. Stand By Me is the better film. It's a coming of age story that resonates with both children who are watching it in the moment and adults who are watching it in hindsight. It just captures so much in a relatively short running time. Leah alluded in the first episode to short running times of all of these movies, and Stand By Me is right up there. It's like an hour and a half long, and it does so much in its very short running time. It is a wonderful film. As much as I do love Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I have to hand it to Stand By Me here, and I have to hand it to Leah to make the final decision.
It is a tie. And Leah, it is going to you. If you want to take a moment to gather your thoughts, can't wait to hear it.
Well, I would love to do that, but are we still doing buzzer beaters here at Boozy Bracketology?
Yeah, we got buzzer beaters.
Go right ahead. Does anyone want to use a buzzer beater on Leah?
You're damn right I do. Convince me. And here's why. For my time seeing Stand By Me, all I could really think about is how this is just a longer Logan Paul video. We've got people going, trying to find dead bodies. They're being crude and rude. And let's be honest here. Do we need any more Logan Paul videos? Think of the children.
I think we should just get rid of people with first names as last names altogether, quite frankly. But
I do hate people with two first names.
Sam Mike is editing this episode.
I'm sorry, Sam.
And I used to be Leah Shirley, so
that would be okay, specifically the Pauls. What about just Paul? What about just the Pauls? Yours, I can tell they're wastes of oxygen. Anyway.
Okay, so here's kind of my thoughts. I have championed both of these films up until this point. For Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like I said, I loved it in all of its sequels. I laughed, I cried. I even rooted for the little teen romance to spark, which we haven't really talked about. And it's a very subtle subplot of the movie. But at the end of the movie, when they kind of like touch feet under the table, super cute. It's very memorable for me. It's a near perfect children's movie. I just don't know if families watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like the parents who are watching it, will get as much out of it as they would Stand By Me. Stand By Me is a great mystery film, but the characters are what bring it home. I didn't appreciate that part as a child. It really wasn't until watching it as an adult when I'm like, man, being a kid is super hard. There's kids dealing with all kinds of trauma, all kinds of violence, and the actors in that film really do kill it, all of them. Will and River and Corey and Jerry and Kiefer Sutherland as the bad guy, older kid friend. They're all fantastic actors, and they really do commit to what they are supposed to be doing emotionally, and it really brings it home. A lot of students and kids only survive childhood because of their friends, and that's what this film represents. They may not be in your life forever. At the end of the film, spoiler alert for Jeff who hasn't seen it, you kind of find out what happens after this little adventure, and they don't stay close. They have this really impactful moment, and then they go their separate ways, a lot of them. The memories and the bond that they have are things that you remember way later in life because they helped you survive a time that was really hard, really traumatic because they were there for each other. And then there was one line in the film that I really, really resonated with me, and it's, kids lose everything if they don't have someone to look after them. And these kids had no parents to look after them. Their parents did not care about them. Some of them were abusive to the kids. These kids had each other, and that's what got them through. That's what gave them hope, that gave them a future, was their friendship with each other, even though they were all different. And that is just so impactful. It resonates so much with me as a parent and as an educator. I love it so much. Stand By Me is going to move on.
I'd like to petition to change my vote. I think I've been buzzer beat.
I think you should watch the film. Yeah, it is on Hulu.
I think we should
petition denied.
You can watch it with the older boys. Don't watch it with Ellie. It just has a couple. It has one F word at least, and some genitalia slang, and
they're middle school boys, I think.
Yeah, your middle school boys will be fine watching it. Yeah. For sure.
And Stand By Me is going to the championship. We have our next match between the 2 seed E.T. and the 11 seed, the Goonies. And I see people shaking their heads, and I agree with you. But I want to hear from Leah first. Sorry, Marissa. Marissa, I'm
Can
so sorry.
Let's go.
It's Marissa.
Like, I go again.
Leah's like, can I catch my breath, please?
Man, I adore and love both of these movies. I was very into E.T. as a young kid. Had it on VHS. Goonies, I wasn't really introduced into it until later in life. I think I first watched it on a band trip. And it's, you know, it's also, it's delightful. It is. It's a lot of fun. Who doesn't want to go on an adventure with their friends and save their house? And, but gosh, I don't know. Little Sean Astin is adorable. Goodness. But E.T., man, E.T.'s so good. It's so good. Everyone loves Elliot and just the friendship, and he doesn't treat E.T. any different. Even though he's, you know, not like him, he takes care of him and wants to get him back home and save his planet. Oh my goodness. E.T. gets my vote.
All right. And E.T. gets the first vote. Start us off. Chris.
This one hurts. I genuinely love both of these movies. There is the nice thing here is that there's not a wrong choice. I don't think we're going to look at this and say, "Oh, you definitely should have chose whatever the hell it was to beat Muppets Christmas Carol."
Exactly.
It was Jingle All the Way, and it was Mickey's Christmas Carol. It was Mickey's Christmas Carol. We've been getting that wrong for 3 years.
Muppets Mickey's Christmas Carol
was the one that lost. Muppet Christmas Carol advanced. I don't understand why we can't get this far ahead.
Actually, and that's what Chris will never get over.
Chris, you touched a nerve.
I did. I touched two nerves. Okay, so this is where my vote's going to go. This is how I'm breaking it down. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to say these words. Steven Spielberg has more movies that I love a lot more than E.T. My favorite, we did that. We did this whole breakdown of what Chris's favorite movies are, and two of them were Spielberg movies. And I don't know that E.T. comes anywhere near the top of that list. Goonies, though, I do think it's higher on that list than E.T. will be. I will disagree with Marissa. I still love the ride at Universal Studios. I love that ride. I think it's so much fun. Well, I love giving them a fake name, having E.T. call out, you know, Fluffernutter on the way out the door or the way out the ride. It's fun. But Goonies never say die. I got a thing for movies where it's a group of friends that come together to achieve a common goal. If you can't tell my love, Stand By Me, I'm giving my vote to Goonies.
All right. One vote for E.T., one vote for Goonies. Mike.
So, in The Great Muppet Caper, there's this great running gag. Oh, all right, I'm done. I'm just kidding. Although the catch them with red-handed, what color are their hands now gag is brilliant in that movie. Yeah, this matchup is fantastic. It is an extraordinarily tough matchup because these are two fantastic kids movies. I would put on either one. You can put on either one of these for your kids at I don't want to say any age. I mean, again, it's been alluded to before. The 80s was the era when everybody watched movies, not kids movies, but just movies in general, at a age that was a little too young for when they should have been watching it. But you could put on either one of these movies for your kids and they would enjoy them. They would have a good time. They would talk about them. They would feel excited. And honestly, this discussion has made me go, you know what? I need to put on the Goonies for my kids because they loved E.T. They really did. And I think they would equally love the Goonies. And Goonies is a fantastic adventure film. I understand and respect where Chris is coming from the perspective of, are there other Spielberg movies that, you know, are in this bracket? Yes. You know, that are better, arguable, and maybe we'll get there. I don't know. I just think E.T. is just a film that excites these movies both excite the imagination, and I don't want to sell that short, but E.T. Goonies excites the imagination about what's past and buried and could be uncovered, and there's a lot of possibility there, and that's really cool. E.T. excites the imagination about the future and what's out there and what could be. There's so much to both of these movies. And I'm with Chris. I don't think there's a wrong choice here. I just think E.T. has that little bit of an edge. It's some of the things that happen in that movie, it goes in weird directions. It's not afraid to take the things in a couple of weird directions that are still really entertaining and all dovetail to an incredibly emotional climax that, yes, damn it, I still fucking cried at that final scene while I was watching that with my daughters a couple months ago when we rewatched it. So E.T. is going to get my vote here.
All right. So two votes for E.T., one for Goonies. Leah, let's hear from you.
Yeah. So here's my thought process. So three of the four final four films were all in my original prediction as to the outcome we were going to get to. So I kind of was anticipating a lot of these same choices. Only I had Uncle Buck going instead of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, because I didn't know that we had such a big Honey, I Shrunk the Kids fan base here. So, but when I'm coming down to this, I was hoping Stand By Me would win the left side of the bracket, just because I feel so passionately about that film that it was so great. So when trying to predict what it's going to go up against, it's going to go against either E.T. or The Goonies. If it goes against Goonies, the films have completely different tones, but are similar enough. It's about kids going on an adventure and a journey to uncover a mystery. Goonies is funnier. Stand By Me is obviously more dramatic and more heartfelt. I don't want it to come to that. I don't want a Goonies Stand By Me final matchup because the films are similar in tones. I think a more interesting final matchup will be Stand By Me versus E.T. So that is why I am voting for E.T. for the left or the right side of the bracket to go against Stand By Me in the final. Let chaos reign.
Chaos Grandma. That's where Paige gets it from.
She's a chaos grandma, yeah.
That's Jeff's job.
E.T. is going to move on to the championship. But Jeff, final thoughts on E.T. and Goonies?
Yeah, good movies.
Have you seen them?
I have, in fact, seen E.T., thank you very much, and I love it very much. One thing that I was pointing out is they are both fantastic movies, but one of these is often cited as one of the best movies ever. So it's probably a good thing it's movie.
It's not The Great Muppet Caper?
Never heard of it.
You could get a two-gun salute there from Mike. Thank you, sir. Is Sarah frozen?
No, I think she just doesn't realize that was Jeff's vote.
Oh, okay. Jeff went E.T.
Okay. I did miss that part, so thank you. I must have froze there for a moment.
That's fair.
Sorry about that. But this is it. It is coming down to Leah's prediction, right, Leah? These two. You've got your number four seed, Stand By Me, versus your number two seed, E.T. Yep. And Chris, you get to make the first choice.
Oh, shit.
Sucker.
I totally had this going, Goonies versus Stand By Me. So this is not how I thought this was going to go. Oh God, they're both so good. Such good movies. And I don't really have a line of delineation between them. As far as quality, the quality on both of these is great. I mean, Rob Reiner versus Steven Spielberg, for God's sake.
It won't be the last time.
No, it won't. I'll say it. Stand By Me just means more to me. I think there's a truth that resonates through a lot of that film. E.T. challenges you to use your imagination. Stand By Me, I think, though, is honestly from a young teenager to an adult, still a completely watchable movie that I do think hits you a little bit differently as you get older than it did when you were a teenager. When you were a teenager, you definitely felt more in line with like the hijinks and the language and the vernacular and the way they interact with each other. And as an adult, you have a much deeper appreciation for just the sheer amount of crap these kids went through. And I can't help but think about what those kids are like in their 30s and 40s. It's an interesting character study, but it's a wonderful film. Let's go find a body.
Hey, stand by me picking up the first vote. Mike.
The only thing I really disagree with what Chris said is that this is absolutely the matchup that I had in the finals. This is what I fully anticipated it coming to. So I'm not surprised that it got here. And I guess in a way, the advantage of that is theoretically, I would have had a lot of time to think about it. But of course, I didn't. I mean, come on. I do agree with a lot of what Chris said about Stand By Me in terms of the character development, in terms of just the way that you can view it at different ages and get different things out of it. And it is a wonderful film and it deserves to be here. And I will not be upset in the slightest if it moves on. But the reason that I am voting E.T. is that we're Stand By Me, as wonderful of a film as it is, it could have been equally great as a play. E.T. is cinematic because I think of, look, I'm not going to lie, the bike chase, it goes a little long. I don't know if I realized it as a kid. I realized it as an adult rewatching it. The bike chase goes on a little long, but it's all of that build to that moment when E.T. wakes up and all of the kids take off and the John Williams score just swells. And it's that movie. Dun, 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 dun. And it's that whole thing. It is cinematic in a way that movies should be, in a way that capture the imagination, in a way that inspire, in a way that make your heart swell. There is so much to that movie that just could not exist in another medium. There is so much about that captures everything that I love about movies. And I think that is why, at the end of the day, E.T. has to get my vote over Stand By Me. Even though I do think Stand By Me is a great film, E.T. is the winner here.
All right, so one vote for E.T., one vote for Stand By Me. Leah.
So I said earlier that when I make my choices for round one, it's usually based on which films I enjoy more. And then when I get to kind of the second round, I have to kind of pivot a little bit and figure out maybe which one overall is objectively the better film or one that has made the more impact on the universe and not necessarily the one that I have a personal preference for. And now we're in the final round. And now we are deciding who is going to go up against the winner of what other rando bracket category 80s movie that we have. So I kind of have to think which one has the best opportunity to stand its ground against another 80s movie from a different category. Because obviously I want all the brackets that I was a part of to win the overall bracket at the end, because of course I do. And this is only my second one. So I'm really hoping that whatever the romance winner was when Harry Met Sally and whatever winner of this one is, I hope they go all the way. But I'm kind of torn because going by that logic that I'm using, I think Stand By Me has the better staying power against films from other genres. Just because it is R-rated, I think it's the one that more adults would enjoy watching. But does it best represent what our category stands for? That's, you know, it's tough. I know Mike said at the beginning that he thinks more about the films as opposed to the categories. But I don't know. I really feel like I have to pick one that's going to represent the category as well, if it's going to be what's going to represent it in the next phase of this mega 80s bracket that we're doing. So I'm really in a tough spot. I really don't know what to do. There's one I want to vote for, but I don't know if it's the right choice. What's the vote now? Is it 1-1?
1-1.
I think it's 1-1 right now.
1-1. Okay. So this is not a deciding factor. Gosh, this really is going to break my heart a lot. I want to vote for Stand By Me, but I think I'm going to vote for E.T. because of the cultural impact that it has overall. There is a large part of our population that has never seen Stand By Me, or some that have even heard of Stand By Me, which I think
can't
is
can't imagine crime. Who you're referring to.
Yeah, they should all watch it. Hulu. Again, it's on Hulu, if you have Hulu. But E.T., even if you've never seen the movie, you know Elliot. You know about the Reese's Pieces. You know about the bikes in the air. It has a longer staying power and more of a cultural impact. So I'm sadly, sadly, sadly going to vote for E.T. And I'm sad. I'm sad.
I'm very confused with my feelings right now at the moment. Like, so a sad vote for E.T. So E.T. two, Stand By Me one. We're going to take it over to Jeff, who I imagine might be less sad.
Yeah.
Well, and here's why it's the perfect time to come to me, because I think that there's absolutely no reason to be sad about this. I think what has happened here is that we have absolutely propped up what is probably one of the best storytelling youth R-rated movies of the 80s. I think we've given it its dues. I think there's going to be people that listen to this that are going to go watch it now and respect it and understand it for what it is and come out on the other side a better person. But it is a film. And it is a film that is going up against a phenomenon. We're talking about a film that was nearly a $1 billion film in the 80s against a $50 million film. We're talking about a film that has widely influenced many things across all sorts of pop culture. So while I think we have done some good here, and I think Stand By Me has absolutely earned the respect and will earn views, the right choice is E.T. My choice is E.T.
There you have it. E.T. is taking the number one spot. But Marissa, we want to hear some final thoughts.
I mean, first off, I think we've made the right decision. I definitely want to go and watch Stand By Me at this point. I do want to make a couple points in case there are other people out there like me. I didn't have a group of friends that have been talked up like in Stand By Me. But you know what I did have? I had my imagination. And I mean, probably still to this day, unhealthily live in an alternate universe. Hence why I am a 37-year-old woman that plays D&D on the reg. So, you know, my vote is definitely going to E.T. But, you know, no disrespect to Stand By Me. I'm definitely going to go watch that now.
We need to call Leah an Uber because I'm not driving her home right now.
Who's going to drive you home?
Not me.
Not Chris.
And what a way to end the 80s kids and young adults movie. Just takes me back to the nostalgia days of listening to the Top Gun soundtrack on my pink Casio tape player. On repeat, but there was a repeat. You'd have to stop, rewind it, and then start it over again. Welcome to the 80s.
The nostalgia days where we would name our 7-year-old a lovely modern name like Gertie.
Sarah, you took my breath away with that particular
thanks. Memory. I knew I would. If Mike doesn't have a music joke in one of them, it's not a night. And my night's made now. But I want to pass this over to Chris for socials.
Yeah, so if you enjoy the content we bring you, we mean it. You know, if you can support us financially, do so. Patreon.com/PTE Network is the best place to do that. Honestly, we hope you enjoy the content that we're bringing you. Leave us a 5-star rating, write us a review. Check the show notes for our always active, somehow always active Discord server that we're not going to tell our bosses that we're on regularly. they don't listen to this, so we're safe to say that. But our Facebook group, all the stuff right there on the show notes, so check it out. Sarah, back to you.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm going to say goodnight to you all. What a wonderful time. I cannot wait to hear the rest of how the 80s giant bracket's going to break down. But for the kids and young adults, I have been your host, Sarah.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
I'm Leah.
And I'm Jeff.
We'll see you next time. Until then, have a good one.